The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Pascal Donoghue is with me, Fine Gael TD and Minister for Public Expenditure and Reform. Minister, you're welcome to the show. I understand you've updated Cabinet on the National Development Plan on spending, third quarter spending with regard to that plan, and that update showed an increased investment in public infrastructure. Is that right?
It sure did. So, Kieran, thank you for having me on your programme. It showed spend up to the third quarter of this year. It stood at around €8 billion, which was an increase of €2.3 billion versus a year ago. All that means, and so important, is investing in more schools, in more homes and more hospital beds, and is a sign of the progress that we're making. But of course, I and your listeners know how much more we need to do in the time ahead.
So that €2.3 billion increase, I mean, some of that is just kind of inflationary pressure. You stand still and the costs will go up, but that wouldn't account for all of the increase. So where has there been extra spending?
The extra spending is mainly in the Department of Housing and in the Department of Education. In the Department of Education, it's the number of new school buildings that we're delivering at the moment. Last year alone, we completed 330 different projects and school buildings. And then in the Department of Housing at the moment, it is the homes that we are directly building are the homes we are enabling to be built, which for the first half of this year alone was just under 34,000 homes. So it's mainly those two departments that are driving the overall spend at the moment.
And why is it so much higher than last year when it looks like the number of homes delivered might not be quite as high as last year?
Because in recent years, we've had a difficulty in spending our full capital budget during the year. Reason for that is the impact of COVID and also the impact that cost price inflation did have for some time on the delivery of projects and the completion of tendering processes. So that's why part of the reason why there's a big increase. But in relation to homes in particular, you know, the number of new homes that are being built is up. The number of completions that are happening is up as well. And the planning permissions that are there for new homes to be built also looks very positive at the moment.
Has there been a big downturn, though, in the number of homes being provided by private developers? I mean, if we haven't seen a huge increase in the overall number of homes completed this year, or we're unlikely to see a huge increase, but we've had a huge increase in the amount the government is spending on new homes, it would suggest there's been a decrease elsewhere to compensate.
So we are seeing a significant increase in the number of new homes the government is directly building at, so it should be. The social and public housing project that we have at the moment is the biggest since the 1970s. At the moment, we would estimate that for last year alone, there was nearly 12,000 new social homes either built or funded by the state. In relation to the private sector, we are still seeing progress in more homes being built by the private sector. But it's fair to say, Kieran, that the difficulties in relation to inflation, the difficulties in relation to being able to afford to get a loan for a home has had an effect on the increase of new homes that have been built, which is why the different schemes that we have in place to support more homes being built through the private sector continues to be important.
So are you satisfied then in terms of the National Development Plan overall and where we are? So this is a 2021 to 2030 plan. The halfway point is not too far away from us. Are you satisfied with progress thus far?
I am, but I'd have to say the context for it all has changed. It has changed because of the number of additional people that are at work in Ireland and the growth in our population. And of course, the context also changed because of the soaring inflation that we had for nearly 18 months. So while in the context of something that's very positive, which is more people working in Ireland, and something that's very negative, which is the cost of building a home went up by so much, I think we have made decent progress. But I'm so aware of the fact that we need to deliver more homes and we also need to move faster to green our economy and provide renewable energy to fund our economy. And that will be the big work of the next half of this plan.
Yeah, we'll actually come back to the homes on that and who's going to build them, because the Irish Fiscal Advisory Council have issued a warning about a lack of workers. But just in terms of the greening of the economy, that National Development Plan, and most people listening to this show, the overwhelming majority won't have sat down and read it, but it's all infused with the language of climate change mitigation. And we did have the EPA last week acknowledging that emissions have fallen, which is to be welcomed, 2.2%, a decrease last year. I'm not sure some people thought we'd ever see that, given they went up in COVID when it looked like everything had shut down. It was hard to imagine how we'd reverse it. At the same time, the same report, the language it uses, Ireland nowhere near where it should be in terms of reducing emissions, and still on course, despite this reduction, to miss all of our climate change targets.
Yes, your summary there analyses the progress that we've made, Ciarán, but how important the work is in what we have to do in the rest of the delivery of this plan. And at the heart of it all will be how we can decarbonize and make cleaner the energy that we use to run our economy, to fund, to provide energy to households, to businesses, to our transport system. And I believe by also us doing that, it is also how we will fund the next wave of prosperity for our country, by Ireland over time becoming an exporter of clean energy to the rest of the world. And, you know, we are making progress on it. The benefits of it are apparent in climate emissions now falling. But we do have much work that remains to be done, which is why continuing to invest in these projects by looking after our economy and acknowledging the trade-offs is the work that I certainly want to see continued.
Well, what is the chief way in which we get closer to those targets in the context of an expanding population and what we hope is a continually expanding economy?
I pick out two things. Number one, accelerating our progress on offshore energy, which I have to acknowledge Minister Eamon Ryan has been a pioneer of throughout his career. And we continue to make progress on that. And we have to accelerate that progress to catch up on progress that's happening elsewhere in Europe. And then number two, I would highlight the retrofitting, not only of private homes, but of public buildings. One of the things our carbon taxation has enabled us to do is massively increase our funding in retrofitting. We need to continue that, and we've the money to do it. But in parallel to doing all of that, the big change for the second half of the 2020s will be then a step change in public transport. And that is projects like the Metro and light rail in different parts of our countries will have an added urgency.
Well, that kind of does bring us actually back to the Irish Fiscal Advisory Council, because they talk about retrofitting as well and the difficulty in meeting some of those retrofitting targets in terms of labour force constraints. 80,000 workers are needed to address significant shortfalls in four key areas of infrastructure. They say we are kind of lagging behind Europe in terms of housing, healthcare, transport and electricity. And on housing, they talk about not just the completion of new houses, but that retrofitting project as well. To what extent are labour force constraints the big difficulty that you and any future government faces?
So it's certainly a constraint. But I think we should also acknowledge the progress that we have made in recent years. So since the pandemic, we now have 340,000 more people working within our economy. So over four times the figure that the Fiscal Advisory Council have acknowledged. And it's a remarkable change in our country in recent years that we've 2.7 million people now at work. So in the context of that 2.7 million and the increase that has happened since the pandemic, even the big figure that IFAC are flagging, if we would continue with employment growth, we would be able to identify those workers, either have them come to work in Ireland or people who are leaving apprenticeship programs go to work in Ireland. But there's another really important thing in that report, and it highlighted that the number of new workers we might need could be as low as 20,000 if we get the technology that's involved in delivering this work right. So I think it is a fair critique and warning regarding the next few years. But the last few years should give us some hope that we would be able to do it.
But in the short term, it does make it difficult to fulfil even electoral promises. I know that there's no Fine Gael manifesto yet for the looming election. There probably is. We haven't seen it yet. But if we look at the local election manifesto and assume it'll be broadly similar, you know, it promises more houses, more schools, more roads, more hospitals, more Gardaí, more teachers, more nurses, more GPs, more of everything. Like in the short term, there are not the people to keep all those promises?
So I'm not so sure, actually. If you just go back to the point I made a moment ago, well, if you just look at what's happened in the last few years, with 340,000 more people at work in Ireland than we had before. And that is a combination of people who are already living in Ireland, who are able to return to the workforce, people who returned to Ireland, and then people who left our colleges and our universities. And that is what has happened in the last few years. So if we found 340,000 more people to work in Ireland a few years ago, I think we should be confident about our ability to find up to 80,000. But I do think, on the other hand, the point that you're making is important in acknowledging there are trade-offs. Like, we can't pretend that we can hire thousands more of everything, because the same people, for example, that we might want to become a guard might also be the person who's considering joining our defence forces. So for me, it's not so much about committing, saying that we can't hire more guards or get more nurses or get more people to join the our defence forces. It's about acknowledging there's not an infinite number of people who are there to do it, and not every employer can get all the people they want. And sure, I've acknowledged that point for years, Ciarán.
But in terms of where those workers might come from, and the 340,000 extra workers that we've had in the economy over the last number of years added to it, I mean, I assume that the rate of return on investment, if we put it that way, in terms of people who are already living in this country, gets lower and lower. Everybody almost who's kind of available to work is now working. You were coming from a place where employment was maybe closer to double figure, certainly high single figures. We're now down to what's kind of considered effectively zero unemployment, thereabouts. It's just kind of the churn that gets represented in the figures. So therefore, it gets harder and harder to find the next 340,000, does it not?
It does indeed, which is why it's welcome that the figure the IFAC are publishing today, the Fiscal Advisory Council, is up to 80,000. So that up to 80,000 is a fraction of what we have had in recent years. And it is why having the right approach to migration, encouraging people to work in our country who are able to contribute to our country. And it's also why the work that we're doing in our apprenticeship programs are so important. And then finally, I just highlight the value of childcare and the changes that we have made there, and indeed of remote working, for helping people who were already living in Ireland to return to our workforce and contribute in the way they want to our economy. So I do think, with a mix of all of that continuing, but being realistic that we can't keep on growing our labour force like we have in the past, we would be able to achieve close to a figure like that.
A final question on the Irish Fiscal Advisory Council report. It talks about the planning system and the difficulties therein. How confident are you that the new planning legislation will circumvent those difficulties?
Well, it's not so much about circumventing them, because so many of the challenges that we do face can be due to people exercising what is a legal and democratic right. But I do believe...
Should they have those rights, though? Have we not interpreted the Aarhus Convention in a much broader way than almost any other European country? Which means that, you know, I can object to kind of a development beside your house from Kilkenny when it's happening up in Dublin Central.
So I think we should have those rights, but I think we should have them with some constraints, with a recognition that an unlimited ability to object to anything has costs elsewhere. And one of the things that Minister O'Brien...
But why should I be able to object at all?
Well, because... Well, I'll give you an example of it. You know, a change that can happen in one part of our country could have a very big knock-on effect on the environment in another part of our country. And in those circumstances, the right is there. However, what the bill is trying to do is put some reasonable constraints in relation to it that heightens people's ability to object to things that are local to them and preserves that right. But for things that are not local to them and elsewhere within the country, makes the kind of constraints in relation to it clearer. And I do think the bill that Dara has brought forward will contribute to that. I think the other thing that will make a big difference is the fact that we've really expanded the number of people that are working on what was on board Planola. We've more planners, we've more people working in that organisation with the expertise to make decisions quickly. And I think both of those changes together will make a difference, Ciarán.
I mentioned Dublin Central.
I thought for a moment the last question was going to be about the rumble in the jungle there, Ciarán.
No. You can come on and talk about that another day. Maybe the 60th anniversary if you're still in public office. How about that? Listen, you're kind of running for public office again in only a few weeks' time. A fairly congested constituency. Claire Daly, Kevin Jack. Well, Jerry Hutch had been mooted, but he may be otherwise engaged, it looks like, in Dublin Central. I'm not sure if you heard this clip, this comedian, Anthony Lees. He has nearly a million subscribers on YouTube, and he goes around the world kind of visiting different cities and kind of assessing what life is really like for people living in those places. And he came to Dublin, and it was Dublin Central. It was that constituency. It was from Connolly down towards Smithfield and back that he traversed. Take a little listen.
I don't want to be harsh, but how do I say it? I wonder if Dublin was ever good. That's how I'm going to say it. I went from Belfast genuinely being one of the maddest cities that I've ever been to. Like, the vibe of it to here, and it's like, it's a shit city, bro. In every aspect of it. Sorry. Like, I love Ireland. Bro, Dublin is one shit city, brother. And it was a shock, like, I can't believe it's Ireland. I don't know how long your city's been like this, but lads, yuck.
So I doubt you're going to ask Anthony Lees to go door to door with you over the next 3 weeks in Dublin Central. But how would you defend Dublin to him?
I would defend it to him on the basis of the investment that we are making. I will point to Diamond Park in the inner city, a new public park that is there. I will point to the investment that we're making in our public realm, in building new community facilities. For example, what we are doing in Rutland Street. I will point to progress that we are making in trying to keep our city cleaner, despite what he has said. But as always, as somebody who lives very near the city centre, I'd always acknowledge that we have to do more. And our recovery from COVID in particular has been very hard for the city centre of Dublin. That's why we have published a task force in relation to our city centre, particularly about O'Connell Street and the changes we need to make there. I don't think he's going to canvass with me in Dublin Central on the basis of what you said there, but I think if I was with him, I could show him many other parts of our city. That's why I'm proud to represent it and proud to live in it and near it too.
Pascal Donoghue, Fine Gael TD, Minister for Public Expenditure and Reform. Minister, thanks a million for joining us here on the show.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.